Welcome everyone to LML Radio. I'm your host James Wadsworth, and joining me this week via the Skype phone is Mike Huffman. How's it going, Mike?
Pretty good.
Awesome. On the show tonight, we've got the news, a Mocks of the Week segment, and a discussion about Lugnet and LEGO Forms in general. But before we get into that, I just wanted to take some time to mention Brickworld, as I believe, Mike, you've been helping the guys out with the website?
Yes. I did it last year, and I've been doing it this year.
Last year? So is this... I thought this was the first incarnation of Brickworld, or is this the second?
No.
No, okay.
This is the second year.
Still no seven then. Was it in Washington last year?
No, it was still in Chicago last year.
All right, I messed up. So yeah, I think your official title is Web Coordinator, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so let's give them a plug. June 19th, June 22nd at the Westin Hotel in the northwest suburbs of Chicago.
It's a nice area. It's probably 2-3 miles from the Lego store. It's not too far away from one of the airports. I forget which one we flew into. Might have been O'Hare. And it's a very nice hotel. I've got pictures of it up on my Flickr account if anybody wants any to see it. The event is promising to be much, much bigger this year. Last year, there was a conflict between NMRA and Brickworld, and I think a lot of the train groups ended up going to NMRA. This year, they're promising to be a whole room dedicated to the train group on top of, you know, everything else that will be there. And don't know too many details yet. Still... You know, whatever's on the website is pretty much what I know, so.
So the LEGO store, is that like an officially run LEGO store or just a store that's connected with the LEGO group?
No, there's actually three stores in Chicago. There's one downtown along the, is it Miracle Mile? I guess it's the shopping district of downtown. And then there's two stores, one in that area, crap, and I can't remember the name right now. And then there's another one out by the mall, but it's like, you know, a good 10-15 minute drive away. But I think it was announced on Lugnet that there's going to be shopping opportunities and different discounts at each of the three different stores on different days. But these are official LEGO retail stores.
So bring your money if you're going to the Windy City?
Oh, yeah.
And I assume you're going to be there?
Unfortunately, no. My wife and I committed to going out to NMRA this year.
So what's this NMRA?
NMRA is the National Railroad, Model Railroad Association. It's the train groups. And ILTCO, which is the International LEGO Train Club Organization, does a show generally in conjunction with NMRA. And it's the model trainers, it's their big event. It's their one convention every year, and it moves from city to city. Last year, I think it was Philadelphia. Year before that, it was Cincinnati. This year, it's in Anaheim, and I think next year, it's going to be up in Milwaukee area. I could be wrong on that one, but... I do know it's in Anaheim this year.
So what about in 09? Will there be another Brickworld in the same place?
I think so. They're talking to Adam, who's one of the founders of Brickworld. Him and Brian are committed, I think, to having Brickworld there for the next 4 or 5 years. They actually, I don't know if they've technically signed an agreement with the hotel, but they're pretty committed from, you know, just talking with them and working with them. To you know, having Brickworld there for at least the next 3 or 4 years.
Very cool. So people like me and you who won't make it out this year will have many more options in the future?
Yes.
All right, very good. Well, let's move on to the news. Starting with our first topic, which also mentions a convention, we've got an exclusive Indiana Jones set to debut at Comic-Con 2008. The set will have a piece count of 200 and it will be limited to 500 sets. It'll be interesting to see what exactly this set turns out to be. At previous Comic Cons, do you know if LEGO has released exclusive sets, or is this something new that they're trying out?
I think this is something new that they're trying out. The only thing that they've done in the past at conventions is there was a Duplo brick that they produced for one of the Star Wars conventions. And the name's not coming to me right now. When the prequel first came out, and there was a Star Wars convention, and they had a Duplo brick with Lego Star Wars, and when they started re-releasing Star Wars sets, or actually no, they released Star Wars sets for the first time, and I think these were handed out to attendees to the convention at the time. But no, this is exciting, eBay is going to go crazy afterwards. I can tell you that much.
Yeah. Wasn't there some Star Wars mini sets that I think were exclusives? Maybe not to a convention, but...
Toy Fair. Yeah, there was a Star Wars Darth Vader that was given to people at Toy Fair. And the other interesting thing here recently at First Lego League in Atlanta, they handed out mini bricks that looked like little RCX units and little NXT units that were printed Lego system bricks.
That's cool.
Joe Mino has promised to send me one. Hint, hint. But anyway, they're pretty neat. I've seen pictures of them online too. So it's interesting that Lego's been doing, you know, little things like this for the different conventions. I kind of hope they do something for Brick World, but no, I don't know.
So any idea what the set might be?
No clue.
I've got to think it's something from the new movie.
I think so, too. Have you seen it yet?
The new movie? Yes, I've seen the new film.
I was supposed to do that today and hadn't gotten around to it, so maybe later this week.
We have another Indiana Jones topic, but I don't think we'll be any spoilers for you. But all right, well, the other topic is another new set, which is going to be... assume there'll be more than 500 of them. It's the new Volkswagen Beetle. It appeared on some guy's Brickshelf Gallery. YoBricks.com posted it, and the set is numbered 10187. It includes 1,626 pieces. Most of those pieces in dark and light blue, so that's very interesting. I think the design is a little blocky from my... the front looks a little blocky, but Mike, you said that you think it harkens back to the good old days of Lego, or maybe not the good old, but before the minifig came around?
Yeah, they did a series of, like, old classic cars. Give me a second, and I'll... And they did a series of them, like four or five of them, big wheels, very blocky as well. They actually had like the old windows from the yellow castle in them, you know, pre headlight bricks, you know, the 1x1 windows. Like the 1913 Cadillac and the 1909 Rolls Royce. They're called hobby sets.
You think that looks like the new Volkswagen?
No, it kind of harkens back. I mean, if the grill there, with the step pattern and the blockiness, it does kind of harken back to those days, though.
Yeah, it does. Is that a good thing that Lego's going back to these classic, to the more blocky type feel?
I like it. I don't know if everybody else will, but...
So what type of theme do you think this would fall under?
Oh, the new Beetle? I think it's a lot like the... It looks like the same artwork as the airplane.
Was that just designer, or what they call that?
50 questions tonight. I guess it's considered sculpture line. It's very similar to the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, the 177.
So are you excited
about look at the blue! The dark blue.
Different blue colors?
I am.
I assume many people will be, but I just can't build with different colors. I like my simple colors, so...
I hope it's just not another $200 set or something stupid like that.
Well, 1,626 pieces, that's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's see, the Dreamliner, which is 1,197 pieces, $80.
So the market street was 1,248, and that retailed for $90. So yeah, somewhere around 100, I would assume. Okay. Well, let's move on to the mocks of the week segment. My mock of the week is by Jordan. It was, well, Jordan, a.k.a. Sir Nadraj, which I'm sure many of you know, and it was his ant-attack. And hopefully joining us now will be none other than the person who made it, Jordan.
Hello?
Hey, Jordan, it's James from LML Radio.
Hi, James, how are you?
Not too bad. It's great to be talking with you. I've been following your building since you made that Sweeney Todd creation a number of months back, and it seems each week you build a new high-quality mock. So my first question is, how do you do it? How do you build as fast and as much as you do?
Well, I don't do much, I don't play video games like a lot of kids my age do. I don't watch much TV, you know. So Lego is really, you know, it's sort of the only thing that I enjoy doing. I'm not athletic. I'm not one of those kind of people. So I just come home and I'll do homework or whatever, and I'll come in the basement and I'll just build and I'll find techniques that work, things like that. And I'm really inspired by a lot of things, movies, TV. There's so many things in the world that inspire me, and I just want to build everything, and I can't. So I try to build as much as I can, and I try to keep the quality of my work of the utmost. So, it's really my passion, so to speak.
Very cool. The creation that I selected for Mock of the Week is a scene from the new Indiana Jones film, which you've recreated excellently. My guess is that you've seen the film and you liked it?
Yes, I thought it was great. It was very different. It wasn't so similar to the other Indiana Jones films, and I know it got a lot of mixed reviews with the whole but I thought that was good, and I'm glad Lucas and Spielberg took it into a different direction. I enjoyed it all the way through. The only scene I didn't like was Mutt Williams swinging from the vines with the monkeys. That was a little out there, but overall, I thought it was very, very good.
I've got to agree with you on that scene, but I've heard actually a lot of people say that they liked that jungle truck chase, but anyways, the scene that you created is the ant attack, and I see that you described it as one of the most disgusting scenes in Indiana Jones history. Do you think it beats the famous beating heart scene from Temple of Doom?
Oh, absolutely. I watch a lot of horror movies, so you know the heart I can tolerate, but I hate ants like Indy hates snakes. I don't have a stomach for ants, so that's kind of why I think it's so nasty.
You know what it reminded me of was the scene from Raiders where Indy and the big German are fighting right beside the plane.
Yeah.
For me, it had that same type of feel, but you've recreated it excellently. How did you get so many ants?
I had about 10 or 11 from the sets, a couple jungle duels and the jungle cutter. But the rest I got from Bricklink. You know, as I was watching the movie and watching that scene, I said, I know what scene I'm going to go build when I get home. And I went on Bricklink and I placed a couple orders for ants, and there are, I think I have 79 ants altogether. So,
what was the biggest challenge you faced in making the mock?
That's a good question. Probably just conjuring up the right number of tan slopes and tan tiles. I mean, some people may have seen some pictures. I took some pictures of my little workshop, I call it, in the basement, and I've got tons and tons of Lego, but only some of it is organized and some is just in buckets. So I had to get the right number of pieces, and that's probably the biggest challenge for me. The building techniques weren't hard. The whole ground is snot, so it's all on the side. And I like the tree. The tree was kind of hard to do because I used the reddish-brown tentacles from the Harry Potter and the Hungarian Horntail set. So I had to attach the other branches to the tree. So that was probably the biggest challenge.
So you're not up on your sorting?
No, I've got, let's see, eight. There's probably 14 buckets full of Lego, and then I've got maybe five little storage things with little drawers. So I remember when I first tried to sort all of it, it took me like 3 weeks in a basement with an absolute mess. You couldn't walk anywhere without knocking into something, and everything would go all over the place. So I did what I could, and over the months, things just get unsorted. So it's, even the buckets, the little tiny compartments aren't even sorted. I just kind of know where everything is, and then I've got about four other smaller buckets with elements from recent creations. So yeah, it's very hard to organize it all. So I would like to organize it maybe this summer, but it would be very, very difficult.
This week's topic is all about Lego forms and Lugnet in particular. Maybe I can get you to comment on that. How do you view online Lego forms?
I think they're excellent. I first joined the online community in late 2006, and I started on Eurobricks. Everyone in all of these forums, they're very, very friendly. They're very, very welcoming. So I think it's easy to get acquainted with people. So I also see it from a practical view. That's where, Eurobricks is where I get a lot of my Lego news, what's on the front page. It's also practical for me as a builder to get people's feedback and opinions on my mocks. And it's also good to talk with people who share your hobby and your interest. Because I'm a high school student, and everyone there, they just play video games, and they don't do anything with Lego. I don't know anyone my age, my school that does this, so I can't converse with anyone about it. So it's good to be able to go home and just with the click of a mouse, and you're surrounded by people who share a common interest, Lego. So I think that's good in that sense.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Jordan. It's been great.
Thank you.
Okay. Tonight's topic will be centered a great deal around Lugnet, and hopefully joining us will be Tim Courtney, a longtime member of Lugnet. And Mike, I believe you're a member at Lugnet as well.
Yes. Number 350.
350. So we got a couple Lugnet members joining us to talk about a little bit about its history, its demise, and what's taken its place. So let's see if we can get Tim on here.
Oh, it's Tim.
Hey, Tim, it's James from LML Radio.
Hey, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, Tim.
Hey,
it's Mike Hoffman.
All right, well, we're all here, so let's dig into this topic. Last week on the show about the hissing and beeping that Skype was giving us, Matt made a comment that's very important to join a community and establish yourself within it. Lego community online, obviously. So continuing along that thought, we're going to be discussing one of the oldest Lego websites, Lugnet, and some of the newer forms have sprung up. Tim, I believe you were active when Lugnet was first finding its roots. Maybe you could give us a little history about Lugnet. Was it the first online discussion area for Lego fans? Did it start online or offline? And who started it?
Okay. Lugnet, it was actually not the first online discussion area. Preceding Lugnet was an NNTP Youthnet news group called rec.toys.lego. It actually had quite a bit of traffic and activity around it. Of course, in the early days of the internet, it suffered from the same, it had the same benefits and the same setbacks as NNTP did, and there's a lot of trolls and really no way to control the direction of discussion. But also, there was no web component to that as the web browser and kind of the internet forum experience started in late 90s as more and more people got online. Lugnet emerged, I believe it was 1998. A gentleman named Todd Lehman was the founder of Lugnet, and what he did was, it was actually unique because he engineered this website completely from scratch, but it took the NNTP format, like we use RSS readers today, people then would use the news reader, and so people who were used to discussing it Lego on RecToys Lego could still use their newsreader and just point to a private server on Lugnet, but there was also a web forum that it was the same messages. You could either post a message or reply from the web, you could post a message or reply from news, and then there was one for email too. So really, however you preferred to get your discussion. That's what unique that Lugnet brought to the table early on.
So what was it like back then when, like, it was one of the only Lego forums, correct?
There were several fan sites, and some that had, you know, a good amount of attention to them just based on, you know, the people behind them or the creations on the sites. But for discussion, soon after Lugnet started, it really became the focal point of LEGO on the internet. There were a few hundred members, most of us from that previously knew each other from the Rec Toys LEGO. And for a little bit of background on me, I started discussing LEGO online in late 96, pre-Lugnet. And so I was already established knowing people, you know, before Lugnet came around. So I wasn't new to the community post, you know, after Lugnet started. But then there was also, because now there's this focal point for LEGO in Lugnet, more and more people joined and signed up because it was more visible. I mean, it was searchable. You could find it versus having to be technical enough or savvy enough to be using an NNTP forum. People either in education or in technical job roles and such would be the primary audience there. As far as what it was like, you know, like I said, it was a few hundred people. I would say that it was a real it was kind of new. It was kind of exciting for us. And we all pretty much knew each other or knew what each other was about. And so there was a real, early on, there was a real, like, a camaraderie. This was the place that everybody posted their announcements, their models. And for the most part, you know, people even, they played really nice with each other. It was the early days was kind of, it was just really, really exciting because we saw a lot of new things happening on the web, you know, around LEGO because Lugnet created this focal point for us. And then Todd early on was very, very active, you know, with discussion, and the most active poster, you know, at the time too, and so it was really kind of an extension of Todd's personality and such as well, in that he was engaged in a lot of the discussion, and even any conflicts that would come up, he would sort of step in and not really moderate, but he would just smooth it out just by his own very, very objective attitude and treatment to it. But, you know, plus it was just a lot of fun. It was very innocent. It was LEGO. It was kind of just pure what we think about when we think about relating to LEGO toys and just the childlike fun of it. It was just exemplified on the internet in this forum.
Mike, what do you think changed? Obviously, it's not that way anymore. What do you think happened at Lugnet, or what would you say is the reason that Lugnet's no longer really the central part of the community?
I think a lot of things were happening. You had a bunch of new users who were coming on to Lugnet who weren't as established as a lot of old people had been. Posting, cursing, causing, I think, problems. And I think what you saw was the community started to get fragmented. Space people wanted to go off and talk space without being bothered by every passerby. The castle people wanted to talk castle without everybody. I think, and even within those themes and groups, there was some desire to break out into even more specific discussions about their theme that really you couldn't do with Lugnet. I mean, I guess you could, but it just, you know, how far do you cut something apart until it becomes almost worthless? Like, it talk about space is one thing, but then talking about space and then moon base and then talking about space and moon base and then my, you know, particular theme within space or my sub-theme that I just created, once you get to a point, anyway, that was part of it. And I think there was some internal things happening too. I think Todd and Suzanne kind of pulled back from the website. They were having issues. There was a lot of changes within the community itself that I think kind of, and also I think there was some people that had their feelings hurt too. You know, some kid would come on and post something about how great that their mock is, and it's not all the same color, and the, you know, and would get brutally criticized, and didn't want to put up with that type of criticism, so they kind of formed their own little clique. And I think Lugnet kind of suffered from that, is just this idea of making more cliques.
Would you agree with that, Tim, or have anything to add to it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely saw the same kind of shift that Mike saw. And one of the things that one of my biggest observations was that during this time of transition in Lugnet, as it kind of grew up and matured, I was very active in events and such, and it's very interesting meeting people who at the events who I've never heard of before because they don't post online. And they come out and they find the event on the internet, but yet they don't post. I ask, well, hey, why don't you post, you know, online? Well, it's either they'd rather take that time, they have limited amount of time, they'd rather take that and build, or they just saw this kind of infighting, flame, you know, back and forth or going on, and they just, you know, hey, I don't have time to be a part of that. I'd rather, this is my hobby and I'm gonna enjoy it. And so, yeah, I'll come out and I'll come to an event, or I'll come and participate in a club. But I really just don't want to have a part of this. It's just such a narrow. It's also just such a narrow part of the hobby. You know, if you really think of it, we have a tendency in the community to look at Lugnet or whatever forum we're on kind of as the center of the Lego universe. And what we lack the perspective is that there are people out there who aren't posting online who are just as much, if not more, Lego fans than we are in doing a building and such. That's just not a component of what the way they treat the way they view and desire to interact with their hobby. And so, yeah, I just found it really interesting seeing that it doesn't fit everybody, but also that the conflicts that were going on at the time really were off-putting to groups. I mean, in the clubs that I was involved in locally, I was definitely the most active person online. And more than half of the club, I think, didn't really post. But yet they found us, you know, by reading, by lurking, by seeing the Yahoo groups and such like that. And so that was really how they wanted to enjoy their hobby versus, you know, it's kind of stressful even to communicate about Lego online because of the arguments that would go on.
I apologize if you're hearing noises in the background. We seem to have lost Mike, so...
Oh, no, I didn't hear a noise, but I hope Mike's okay.
Yeah. While we're waiting for him to come back, I'll ask you the question that I'm going to ask him next. Do you miss do you miss Lugnet the way that it used to be? I know Bill Ward said that it used to be so simple, all you'd have to do is post it up to Brickshelf and then write a description on Lugnet, and that'd be that. And it was all in one place. Do you miss it?
In one sense, I really do miss the centralization, and I think I want to qualify that statement by saying, you know, I look at more of like an aggregation point than centralizing the content. Now, I did take a bit of time. I don't really call it a dark ages, but like a dim ages. You know, as I finished up school and early career and stuff like that, where I just wasn't very active at all with Lego, and now I come back and have been observing for about a year and. At Brickworld last year and looking forward to this one. But there's really no, how do you get the overall landscape of what's out there? I mean, it's just whoever knows about what forum. So even for me as being around for a while, I don't know everything that's out there right now. And so that part I really do miss. One of the things I'm just looking forward to seeing, and haven't seen yet and hoping to see is just how when are the tools that we use as a hobby, as a community going to catch up to web standards today. You look at social media, social networking, you look at some of the, just a lot of the, even the content management, you know, systems and such. I just think there's a lot more efficient ways of doing things, but I also think that aggregation and centralizing this content is a lot easier today than maybe it was even two or three years ago. And so I think we could even return to that, but the key point would be, that it's nice to see a high-level overview of everything that's going on in the world of Lego. I think the blogs do a really good job of that, just highlighting the top models that are out there. But at the same time, for new enthusiasts, for casual enthusiasts, you might find a site here or find a mock there. You might see something on Dig. You might see something on a blog. But you don't get a whole picture of what's going on. What's going on events-wise? What's going on groups-wise? Where is that kind of feeling? It's the difference between a Lego Fest where everything is in separate rooms, like the Brick Fest in DC used to be a great event, but we're not all in one place, for the weekend. And then like Brick World where it's one big room and even though across themes, there's still a lot of camaraderie between themes because we're all in the same room together. There's the train section, the space section, the castle section, and we all have our own area that we focus on, but yet we all see each other and we all socialize with those. The same kind of idea that I think that we're missing right now, because everything is pretty fragmented.
Mike, welcome back. I asked Tim if he misses Lugnet and the centralized community that it had. Do you miss Lugnet?
I'm still on it, so no, I don't miss it. I mean, but the posting, one of the things that you forget about during the early days, when you weren't wrecked at Toys.Lego, everybody posted to the same group. So you had auction announcements, you had I've got something for sale announcements, you've got people talking about Mindstorms, you got, well, then it was Technic, you had people talking about Castle. I mean, you had a bunch of noise coming through one pipe. And it was a lot to read. I mean, literally 2,000 to 3,000 posts a day, an hour, would come down the pipe. What's happened, though, with Lugnet when it first came online is that it separated everything out into little groups that it became manageable. So if you just wanted to tune in to Castle without having to worry about space or, you know, all the other different chatter about other things, you could, because you could subscribe to it via email, or, you know, you could look through it through your web browser, or through through your news reader. Now that we've become even more separated into our different web pages or different websites, it's become even harder, and that's where Tim's point about aggregation comes in. It's good that you have RSS feeds for all these things, because then you can pick and choose what websites you kind of want to listen to. But the problem is there's some of those things like forum groups that there still is a lot of noise. Like, you do have somebody who do post something, and then you get 50 posts after that saying how great the mock is. Okay, mm-hmm. we got it the first time. We don't need 50 more posts about telling me how great the thing is. With Lugnet, with it not having so much noise on it now, I can read it to an RSS reader and basically read the whole entire website and basically have about 20 posts per day. So yeah, in one sense, it's good. No, it's not. You know, before reading it through RSS, it was unmanageable because, it was going back to that whole thing of everything came through one pipe again, and that became unmanageable. And I've kind of talked to Brian, Dan, about, you know, breaking that up by category, but I think he got too busy or whatever. With Lugnet, it's still a good place to disseminate information, but it's good in one sense because it doesn't have as much of the noise anymore. But at the same sense, it does feel like a ghost town.
Go ahead.
Oh, just something else I was going to send to you. Something else that was just released today.
Oh yeah, so the Hispabrick magazine.
Yes.
I figured most of our listeners aren't. I think there was one Spanish listener.
Well, and that's the interesting thing, though, is through RSS, I literally read probably over 300 blogs through RSS that are LEGO related. You know, 10,000 Stein posts that are on Lugnet, Brothers Brick. All of these different sites, it's kind of interesting through a newsreader, and stuff like this I think people do miss out on is that you do have like an active Spanish community that are out there that are doing stuff like a magazine that I think a lot of people kind of miss out on, which is unfortunate without having that centralized system anymore.
Yeah, Tim, you're probably just completely lost here. Mike just sent me a picture of the new Spanish LEGO magazine that's just got published today or yesterday.
Yeah, I caught the screen shots of that before the call as I was thinking through the discussion we were going to have. And so, yeah, I mean, that's really, really cool. It's really interesting, and I'm glad that they posted to Lugnet just because, I mean, people still do visit Lugnet, you know, to see general LEGO news. And, I mean, it still is useful for that. But at the same time, I mean, if you're not focused on Lugnet, if you're so focused on your own forum community, whether it be FPTB or Classic Space or Thousand Steiner, you're probably going to miss stuff like that, unless you pay attention to kind of one feed or one central source for across the board LEGO news.
So Tim, earlier you said that you think the online LEGO community could do with some evolving. Did you have anything particular in mind, that technology that's out there on the web that isn't being utilized to its fullest with the LEGO community?
Well, I think I kind of have two points to this. One, I've seen, and I've noticed this over the years, whenever someone kind of sticks their heads up and says, hey, you know, we should do something different, you know, we should do something newer, and looks for help on it, there's kind of the peer pressure to say, well, we have Brickshelf, or we have, another website or whatever, and, you know, we shouldn't just replace it. But I mean, are those sites, the question to ask them, are those sites going to improve over time, or are they not? And then, you know, is there an opportunity for, not to say that, you know, that it should be replaced, but, you know, is there an opportunity for something else to fill a gap where it's not being filled? And you see a ton in the marketplace where, an established company will have a niche competitor come up around and so also you're seeing that in airlines right now, with the budget airlines, you know, too. It's very different business models and such. And so I'm talking about business, but you know, as far as a website, there are other services that could improve. But what I see is I see the people saying, well, no, we're fine. And then so something kind of starts publicly, you know, doesn't get enough momentum because people kind of pull it down, poo-poo the idea. But as far as how stuff could evolve, for the last, I've really been following just not necessarily LEGO related, just as a personal interest, following a lot of the trends in social networking and seeing now what we see is, I think we're all on Facebook. Most people are today. There's the application platform, which say what you will about it. I mean, I know vampires and, you know, all the annoying ones that you get, but I mean, could that be used for anything LEGO related? But also you see the application platforms go beyond, like, that's one network, you know, they call it the walled garden because you can't get information on Facebook. Well, we want to see that publicly, like a LugNet, like a place that you're not centralizing, but aggregating. Centralizing, I view that as like forcing content under one umbrella, saying, hey, you really should put all of your stuff here. And that really doesn't work, because people want to form their communities and build up their own cultures where they are, but why can't there be, you know, a standard interface or an RSS or something like that that pulls everything going on, you know, together under something publicly facing, but also match that to what we see happening on the social graph, you know, people's existing relationships. Could LEGO be exposed to more people through sites like that? And I really believe that it could. And it's just a matter of people getting the right inspiration, putting together new sites or new tools that fit that model, and then seeing what happens. And I really think that if it's done right, we'll see a far bigger audience participating socially, as in a part of their daily social activities on the internet, versus like discussion forums, you know, where long posts, big ideas, threaded discussions and such. A little bit lighter. Think about sharing a link. Think about voting or rating something. I really think we'll see a lot more activity. I think we'll see a lot more activity from what the LEGO community group calls the sleepers. You know, you hear the term awaken the sleepers, or you hear, for what we say as AFLs, you hear they're in their dark ages, or maybe they just haven't quite, you know, discovered LEGO again yet. And I think that we'll see a lot more traction, not a lot of fresh blood come out of embracing tools that mainstream population is using every day. Don't make them go and do something else. Don't make them go and sign up for another forum or another profile or whatever. But the platform exists right now to pull LEGO content into things that we're doing on a daily basis. And it's really low investment for users out there to say, well, now I'm going to pay attention to LEGO stuff. And then over time, that's going to encourage them to build more or buy more or go to a public expo at a LEGO event, or get involved in a club, or start a club. And I really think we'll see a lot more LEGO activity by seeing LEGO tools that leverage today's technology.
Mike, you're someone who's into web development and stuff like that with Brick Builder, iPickabrick, and a few other projects that you've done. Are there any technological things that you think the LEGO community could embrace?
Well, it's interesting. Brick Builder was kind of an evolution. It kind of, you know, I saw what was happening on Brickshelf, and here is a protocol that was already written for Flickr, and all I did try to do was try to leverage what was already there and make it easier for fans to get at certain pieces of information, like Lego photos. Tim's right. There are a lot of new technologies out there that I think as fans we can embrace and use to tie a lot of these community sites together. I mean, there is some problems with all of these damn social sites, is that, you know, every time you go to a different social site, you have to sign up for a new account, you have to import all of your contacts, you have to re-find all of your mm-hmm. friends. And I think OpenID is and a few other technologies, I think, are going to help with that in the future, but I don't think we're there yet.
Do you think that, unless you think up what you were going to say, do you think that the future lies away from the old, Web 1.0 discussion forums, or is there still always going to be a place for sites such as Classic Castle, From Bricks to Bothans, and even Lugnet?
Honestly, I think there's always going to be room for that because people like to talk. People like to share ideas. But the one thing you do have to understand about the LEGO community is we're a bunch of drama queens. LEGO fans are drama queens. They are egos. They are artists. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, fundamentally about the LEGO community is that we do enjoy our art and we do make it for a particular reason and we're very damn proud of it. But the other side of that coin is we do get our feelings hurt very easily. We don't like to have to defend what we do or why, you know, making certain building decisions that we did. You know, some of us do like to improve upon it and we do take criticism, but there's always going to be flames. There's always going to be a flame war, and it's a good part of human nature and it's a bad part of human nature. I don't think we can get around that. So, honestly, if we're going to reach more fans, I think we need to get over the idea is that, you know, we've been around for forever, and there's some attitudes I think we do need to drop to embrace new fans. But at the same time, is as new fans come in into this, they're going to get their feelings hurt, and a lot of this division is going to continue going on, unfortunately. So I don't know. There's a lot of philosophical things there that it will be interesting. It will always be interesting to see where the fans go, because I think it's a toy. It's fun. It's a great hobby, and people are creative, and people will continually surprise you with what they create and do. So whatever happens, whatever the future is going to be, it's going to be fun as long as we keep that spirit. And I get wrapped up in the whole drama queen stuff.
Both of you have mentioned bringing in new fans. Tim, do you think it's important that the LEGO community think about reaching new fans, bringing in new blood, or is that something that we shouldn't be worrying about?
I think it's always something that we should be looking at doing, because that's where a lot of the new ideas come from. New fans surprise us all the time. People come out of the woodwork and build things in part, you know, combinations and orientations that we'd never even thought of. And then they become core builders and such. But I also, I've always just been really simple about this whole thing. And that is that, I like Lego because it's fun. I like Lego because, you know, it's something that's very, you know, dear to my heart, you know, growing up with it. It's a creative medium. And I really, I like the idea of sharing that. I mean, why do we do train shows? You know, we do train shows because, yeah, we want to get our modules together and play with the stuff that we've built with our friends. But we could do that in our basements. You know, why do we do that in public? Well, we want to inspire new fans. I mean, how many, every train show that I was involved in the Northern Illinois Club that I've been to, we'd pick up at least another prospective member. They might not stick, but another member would come along, and then, you know, 100 parents would say, I'm going to go home and buy my kid some Lego, you know. Hey, gee, thanks. You know, you're going to make me buy a Lego train now. You're going to hurt my wallet because now my kids want to play with Lego trains. And that's really a part of the, that's really a part of what makes Lego special, I think, at least for me as a fan, is being able to see someone else's eyes light up and say, oh my goodness, those are all Legos. Like, are those kits? No, they're not kits. I built them myself. And what, you built that yourself? Yeah, that whole dialogue that goes on when you see someone's eyes open to that, but let that happen, step back and let that happen at a scale. And how do we represent ourselves on the internet? Is it going to be fragmented through forums and groups of people who really like each other and, you know, talk together on the forums? And that's great and it's wonderful. I want to encourage them to do that. But also, I think we need that component that aggregates, that makes it easy for people who are surfing the web to encounter Lego stuff, but then also get ramped up quickly on, well, what is the Lego hobby all about? Is this something that I want to participate in? Can I find some friends here? You know, those are very simple initial questions. Or, you know, how do I even know where to start? You know, is there somebody here who could help me? Is there somebody who lives locally to me who I could hang out with? Those are those initial questions that people ask when they discover Lego. And I really do think it's important to spread. I mean, we obviously, we're here talking about Lego on a podcast because we're really passionate about it. And we're really excited about what Lego means to us. And so why wouldn't we then go and share that with other people? Do we want to be a pond? You know, do we want to be a, it's a cheesy analogy, you know, a pond that kind of like sits there and self-references and feeds on itself. You see the algae, you know, floating in the pond. Or do you want to be a river and the life that's around it? You know, well, you want to be moving. You're really moving somewhere and sharing this with somebody else. That's really, really cheesy. Maybe you should edit that out. I should think about a better analogy for that, but you kind of get where I'm going, though, right?
Yeah, Lego's part one part drug addiction and one part self-help or a support group. Hi, I'm Mike. I have played with Lego for 10 years now, and yes, I have a lot of Lego.
Yeah. Maybe if that's all it is, we don't need to advance anything along. Well, Tim, I think I promised you this would be 10 to 15 minutes, not much longer, and we've dragged on, so it's about time that we end this.
Well, one more thing, real fast.
And that's okay, drag it on. I like talking about this stuff.
One of the interesting things that you do see, though, with like the model train community is basically over the last 20 years, they've died out. And it's not because people don't, you know, there is the price. Lego has a very low price entry to get into playing with Lego. But the other thing is I think the biggest thing with the train community and the model trainers and why it's kind of died out is because Anyway, I have my own opinions about that, and I better not share them too much. But
I want to hear them. I'll edit them out if they're not suitable. But I want to hear these.
Well, the biggest thing is I don't think there is a they basically bypassed like the sun, and so now they're trying to get the grandkids into it. But the grandkids are looking at it like, oh my God, this is expensive. But with the Lego, you know, you buy a $10 set, you've got something. Well, you can buy another $10 set, and it's not, you know, you basically just doubled your bricks. To plop down $100 for a damn train, and then to buy cars, and then track, and then all the static stuff that goes with it, it's interesting that you can almost see that it's doomed to failure. Whereas Lego, because it is so dynamic and that, you know, you can take things and rearrange it and make something completely new, there is a certain joy and excitement there, but there's a certain dynamic there that can't be reproduced. And it's unfortunate that the Lego company has dropped the 9-volt line, which, anyway, that's neither here nor there. I don't know. I honestly think that in order to keep the hobby going, we should reach out to the next generation. That we shouldn't just, you know, shut up, kid. You know, you're still building with 14 different colors. You know, come back to me when you get a big enough collection. I mean, I don't think that's right.
I do love how you bring up the train hobby as well. We talked about it before when the news about 20% or something like that of Lego's income or was it purchases are from adults, which, you know, that was a bit of a shock.
You said 20%?
20%,
yeah.
The numbers that I've heard most recently were 5%, but I admit that was a couple of years ago. It really is 20% from adult fans.
Of the purchases, they've
reevaluated that here recently.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we said too. So, there are perhaps parallels of, you know, Lego being the new train, with video games and stuff like that. Kids might not be that interested. But anyways, that's not the topic for tonight. So, Tim, do you have any last words before we close this out?
It's just that, I just want to echo what Mike just reflected on as far as like the attitudes in the community, especially toward new users. I think that we get so focused on the stuff that we build, which is amazing, but like the inside jokes that go with it and maybe the backslapping and such. And when somebody comes along and kind of breaks through all that and posts something that's maybe not quite on to what is cool, you know, at the moment, or maybe isn't up to par. Because even in the last 10 years, we've seen the quality of building just explode, you know, go through the roof because of all this, the cross-pollination of ideas. But when somebody comes along and is new, I mean, what are we going to do to help integrate that person? You know, I want to discourage people from the criticism and, you know, more, you know, give them a leg up and build them up. And, you know, teach them, certainly challenge them, but also encourage them, because I think that we lose a lot of people on the initial, you know, when they finally get the courage up to post something and they're really proud of it too. And then they post it and they kind of leave disappointed because of the criticism. And I just want to say that that's one simple practical thing that I think that everybody in whatever forum that they're participating in, can do is just really embrace the new people that come along and understand that they are going to be newbies. They're not going to understand the culture. I mean, and the kids, they may not even understand netiquette, but we've got to look over that and see the person and see the enthusiasm that they have for the hobby. And maybe, I mean, if it's that big of a deal, you know, build systems that integrate people into the culture, but do it in an encouraging way and just really bring them along in the hobby so that they stick around, because that is, you know, those people are 2 years from now, the people who are the prolific builders, or they might be leading a subset of the community or something like that. And we don't want to lose that talent just because we're off-putting it first. I think it's one real practical step that I think that everybody across the board can just do, because we're passionate about this stuff and we want to share with other people. We don't want people to like leave other Lego fans, you know, with a bad taste in their mouth and then go and get discouraged about building because of it. You know, you want to encourage them to.
Well, I'm going to just bring up another point that you made earlier on tonight, that just because you might force them away from posting on your certain forum doesn't mean that, A, they're going to not join up with another one, or that they're just going to stop building altogether. Because, as you said, there are tons and tons of builders who don't post online, but...
And there's tons and tons of places that were community. Even though it's fragmented, the interesting thing though is that there are tons and tons of places that people can actually, you can find friends, Interesting thing is the Young Spacers group. You know, they got tired of the old Spacers, so they created... Well, I think they had their own discussion group, too, and I think that's great. There are some interesting people out there, and there are different websites and different places that people can go in. Anyway.
All right. Well, I think we better leave it at that. So thank you very much, Mike and Tim, for coming on. It's been great.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to LML Radio LEGO Talk Podcast. To find out more information and subscribe, visit radio.lml.org. If you have any feedback, you can email podcast@lml.org, or you can comment in the blog, which can be found at radio.lml.org. Please remember that LML Radio is not affiliated with the LEGO Group of Companies in any way, shape, or form. The official LEGO website can be found at lego.com. Until next time...
Rick.